You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Corangamite Candidates Forum. Yesterday, of course, we had the Corio Candidates Forum, but Corangamite is a very interesting electorate. Since 1996, the party that's won the seat of Corangamite has also formed government. Sarah Henderson has been the incumbent MP here since 2013, and in 2016 she had a swing against her of 0.8%, but still managed to retain the seat. However, since that time, we've had a number of boundary changes. Of course, Corangamite now takes in the entire Ballerine Peninsula, has lost Colac, has lost Highton and Belmont. So times are changing here in Corangamite, and it's now the most marginal government-held seat in the country. And I'm very pleased to say that here to answer your questions this morning, in ballot paper order, we have Libby Coker, Simon Northeast, Naomi Adams, Damien Cole, and Sarah Henderson. Please welcome our panel. Now, we invited all the candidates that we knew about at the time of organising this forum. Neil Harvey, I didn't get a yes or a no, a maybe from, so like we did yesterday, I've got a table and seat there just in case he decides to turn up. Now, the format for today is that each candidate will get a two-minute opening statement. We've got Liam here to ring the bell today. He's going to ring the bell once at 90 seconds to remind the candidates that they have 30 seconds remaining in their answer, and then he'll ring the bell twice at 2 minutes to indicate that time has elapsed. As with yesterday, we won't be giving any fear or favours towards any particular candidate, so the speaking order will be chosen each time at random by our computer and will be displayed up there, so each candidate will have the opportunity to speak first and last. I've received a stack of questions through the website, but also if people in the audience would like to ask a question, put your hand up, and I think Leo will be the go-to person with the microphone. Audience questions, we will cap at 1 minute, so please get your question out in that time. We can't have long diatribes because, unfortunately, the people that are running for Corangamite are here. Unfortunately, no one else here is running for the seat of Corangamite, so I'd like to hear from the people actually running. All right, so let's get underway with today's forum, and we'll shuffle the names around with opening statements, and Neil Harvey's not here, so listed first is Naomi Adams. Welcome, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitchell. Thank you, everyone, for turning up today. So I'm Naomi Adams. I'm the Corangamite candidate with the Animal Justice Party. The first thing I'd like to do is acknowledge that we are meeting here on Wadawurrung country and of the Kulin Nation, and that sovereignty was never ceded. This is, was, and always will be Aboriginal land, so thank you. Thank you. Animal Justice Party has been in existence since 2013, and since that time we've actually done quite well. We actually have three members of Parliament, two in New South Wales, and now with Andy Medic representing the Western Region for Victoria, we have one Victorian. What we're really hoping to do this time round is get Ben Schultz, our Senate candidate, into government. I know Ben really well. He's a friend and a colleague, and I can vouch for him as a fantastic person and would be a great representative for the animals, for humans, and for the environment. So with the Animal Justice Party, everyone thinks we're a single-issue party. I guess our first and foremost priority is, of course, animals and the treatment of animals, but we are a little bit more widespread than that. We do look at humans. We do look very considerably at the environment as well, because, of course, animals and humans are greatly affected by the damage to the environment. With climate change, we do consider something that other parties really don't touch on very much. We know that one of the leading sources of climate change is the animal agriculture industry. More and more research is coming out to support that, and we acknowledge that we need to address factory farming as one of the biggest priorities to change climate issues. We also want to support our farmers to transition out of animal agriculture into plant-based farming. Also, we recognise that there needs to be a carbon tax for fossil fuels and animal agriculture. Basically, the people who are causing the problems need to pay for the problems. We also want to protect wildlife, particularly the kangaroos, our national emblem.
Thank you, Naomi. Simon Northeast.
Yes, thank you very much. I'd like to acknowledge that today we're meeting on Wadawurrung land, pay respects to elders past, present and future, and very proud that the Greens are the only party to completely endorse the Uluru Statement from the Heart. Sovereignty has never been ceded, and the Greens will work with for reconciliation and justice with our First Nations people. Thank you, Mitchell and Pulse, for the opportunity to speak today. Clearly, politicians have lost their way. They've forgotten that they represent the people. They look after themselves and their big donors. things have to change. We've had seven prime ministers in about 10 years. Politicians appear to put their own interests before national interests, and no one is thinking about the future. The time to act is now. We are in a climate crisis. We need to be thinking about the future. For the last 30 years, there has been inaction on climate change. Bushfires in Tasmania, drought in New South Wales, floods in Queensland, Great Barrier Reef in serious decline, collapse of the Murray-Darling ecosystem. The time to act is now. The Greens have a plan. It's an ambitious plan, but we need to be ambitious. It is a climate crisis. The Greens' plan is called Renew Australia 2030. We plan to phase out coal exports by 2030, immediate ban on new coal mines. We want to support farmers to store carbon, and we want 100% renewable energy. The Greens' plan is to introduce a renewable energy export industry. It's fully costed. It's going to cost about $18 billion. We're going to harness wind and solar energy. It's going to provide over 180,000 jobs in installation, construction and operation. And by 2030, we're going to be making billions of dollars by exporting wind and solar through hydrogen. The Greens would like to clean up politics. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, how you doing? My name's Damien Cole, and I'm an environmental science student and a construction worker down in Torquay. And politics was never part of the plan. But after watching consecutive governments childish finger pointing, hollow promises, the list goes on, and forgetting about our social well-being and our environment across Australia, I decided to stand up. I have no interest in being a politician, and I never will. I have an interest in being an elected community representative, and that's why I stand before you as an independent candidate, because that is where my interest lies, is looking after our community and our environment. I don't look at a political cycle, the 3 years, the 4 years, well, depending on how many prime ministers we have over the next cycle. My interest is intergenerational well-being of our environment and of our people. And looking at the political system at the moment, they are forgetting those that are most vulnerable within our community, and obviously they are forgetting our environment, because we are in the midst of a climate emergency. And looking at both major parties, their climate change policies are severely inadequate. Whilst they do talk about renewable energy and all these things, when you are allowing the demise of the Great Barrier Reef through allowing Adani to go ahead and entertaining the idea of Equinor starting to drill in the Great Australian Bight, you cannot honestly say that you have a decent climate change policy. I think we need to change the paradigm. We need to stop looking at...
Okay, Damien, we'll have to wrap it up there. Many opportunities to come back in later. Sarah Henderson.
Mitchell, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to also acknowledge the traditional owners of the land and pay my respect to elders past and present. To Paulson Mitchell and to all of you, thank you so much for convening this very important debate, a very important part of our democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, this election is primarily about electing your local representative and a government which will work for you. It's a clear choice between a government building a stronger economy to deliver the essential services that you rely on, and Bill Shorten's Labor, which will weaken the economy, introduce $387 billion of new taxes and turn its back on regional Australia. And as we saw on the debate last night, there is a cost of change that not even Bill Shorten can explain. As a government, we've spent the last 6 years working very hard for you. More than 1.3 million new jobs has been created, an extra $37 billion in funding for schools, an average increase of 62% per student. More than 2,000 new life-changing medicines have been listed, a record $100 billion of infrastructure investment, including $2.85 billion in total for local rail upgrades, both the duplication project here locally and the Melbourne to Geelong regional rail link upgrade. We're backing small business. We've removed every child off Nauru, as we promised to do. We've legislated for same-sex marriage. We're taking real practical action on climate change, and we're also tackling tax relief. We're driving down taxes, which is so important for small businesses and individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, the last thing that our economy needs right now is to be hit by Labor and Bill Shorten's higher taxes. Taxes on retirees, on housing, on income, investments, family businesses, electricity and cars. I'm here today to ask for your support. I'm very proud of how I've worked with every community across the Corangamite electorate for almost 6 years, and with your support I will continue to fight and deliver for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Libby Coker.
Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be with you. Great to be part of this democratic process. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners where we meet today and pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. I'd also like to thank Pulse for hosting this event. I'm honoured to be standing as Labor's candidate for Corangamite and proud of the comprehensive program that Labor has already put forward to the Australian people. At the upcoming election, we will each have a choice: to vote for a fair go for all Australians or for the top end of town, to fix schools and hospitals or give tax handouts to big business, to take action on climate change or face escalating power bills and the increasing threat of flood, fire and famine, to act on record low wage growth and underemployment, or accept a growing number of working poor, cuts to penalty rates and a forecast surplus underpinned by gross underspending on the NDIS. For me, the choice is clear. It began when I was a child. I was told I wouldn't live forever, and it was truly devastating at the time, but I realised that life is a precious gift and I must do things of value, things that do make a difference. And I'm proud of the difference that I've made as a councillor and mayor across 10 years at Surf Coast. We've introduced 10 days of family violence leave, and that has now been taken up by Federal Labor if elected. We also have a great school policy. I have two teenage daughters. I want them to have a great future when it comes to wage parity. Only Labor will uphold principles that have been put forward to you in terms of better schooling, better education, better investment in climate change. We've spent the last 6 years doing this. So, under Labor, we will invest in climate change, action in health, more nurses, less out-of-pocket expenses when it comes to dentistry.
Okay. Thank you very much, Libby. Okay, we're going to go to audience questions now, both through the website and also in person. So Leah is the person you want to flag down if you'd like to ask a question, but I'm going to start off with a web question. And also just a reminder about our right of reply rule, which we brought in with great success during the state forums that we ran last time. So if a candidate or party mentions another candidate or party, the candidate or party that was mentioned can just put their hand up, flag to me that they'd like a right of reply, and we'll go to that person once that other answer has concluded. And just a reminder, answers are capped at 2 minutes and questions capped at 1 minute. That's a limit, not a challenge, because we'd like to try and get to as many questions as we can. So first question through the website from Vicky at Indented Head. She's directed it to Sarah Henderson, but I'll open it up to the rest of the panel afterwards. And she says, why are you delivering a 50-metre outdoor pool for the North Bellarine when residents want an indoor pool suitable for year-round activities, including children's swimming lessons, water aerobics, general lap swimming and seniors therapy? We already have a lovely outdoor pool called Port Phillip Bay. Sarah?
Thank you very much, Vicky, for your great question. I am incredibly proud, after working very hard with all of the North Ballarine communities, to have delivered $10 million in the budget for an outdoor pool. And that's a 50-metre outdoor swimming pool. And the reason that we have done that is because if we had delivered funding and then ask the state and Lisa Neville and the council, because this is not a priority for council, for the matching funding, we would probably be waiting 4 or 5 years. And my mission is to deliver, to get things done, to get things built. And so part of that funding will go to the feasibility and the business planning for that pool. There will be community consultation as to where it will be located, and my vision is that stage two of this development will include an indoor, either a program pool or a hydrotherapy pool, along with some other facilities. But this is a great facility in contrast to the Labor Party, which has delivered only money for a feasibility plan. To the people of the North Bellarine and the Bellarine, you cannot swim in a feasibility plan, you need a pool, and only the Liberals are delivering 10 $10 million for an outdoor 50-metre pool, which will be such a great asset for the entire community, including, of course, for all of the school students in the North Bellarine.
Would any other candidate, Libby?
In relation to Labor's position, we have announced a feasibility study. I have discussed, and as I knock on doors, the majority of people, from what I gather, do not want an outdoor pool. They want an indoor swimming facility. They also want to have allied health services. However, I would not presume to know what the community want. We need to ask them. The feasibility study will find out what people want. It'll look at the business case. It'll look at where is the best location for a pool. And then we will get stuck into it. Lisa Neville and I have committed to investigating a pool, and we'll work together to hopefully be able to introduce funding for a pool within the next 4 years. This is something that I know is important to people on the Bellarine who believe in health, and particularly older people, they need a pool. I acknowledge that. But we have to have the right plan to make it happen.
Any other candidate that would like to come in? Nope. All right, next question from Tim of the 3216 postcode, which I think might be Ocean Grove. And he says, for each candidate...
Belmont and Warm Ponds and Highton.
Thank you very much. My postcode knowledge is not what it used to be. what are your personal views on foreign ownership of Australian land, particularly in consideration of Australia's traditional custodians and an old lady who was born overseas, has always lived overseas, who doesn't live here, doesn't work here, doesn't pay taxes here, but claims a right to vast amounts of land here on behalf of her corgi-loving family? I think reading between the lines, Tim is asking, do you support a republic? And Naomi Adams, you're first again.
Okay. So the Animal Justice Party doesn't actually have a position on whether we should be a republic or not, but I can give a personal view. I am actually in support of that. I, with all due respect to the woman with the corgis, I think it's well and truly time that Australia was independently a republic. So thank you.
Damien Cole?
Yeah, I don't really have a overly strong opinion on that, but I do think that in 21st century, in 2019, it wouldn't be a bad thing to become a republic. I think that we can stand on our own two feet. But I do love corgis.
Libby Coach.
Labor definitely supports a republic. I think that we're a grown-up nation. We need to be independent. It does not mean that we don't recognise the role that the past has played. I think it's important to recognise that, but we support a republic.
Simon Northeast.
Yeah, the Greens are very clean. We support a republic. We need an Australian head of state. The sooner it's done, the better.
Sarah Henderson.
Just on the first part of that question, in relation to the foreign ownership of land, and particularly agricultural land, we're very proud to have clamped down on the foreign ownership of land. Under the previous Labor government, you needed something like $240 million of land acquisitions before the Foreign Investment Review Board threshold was triggered. We've cut that right back to $15 million. So we recognise this is a very significant issue, particularly for our farmers. On a republic, the government does not have a policy position. Certainly I am a supporter of a republic, but I think I have to say the Queen is doing a wonderful job, and I don't believe there is any traction for a change in our current arrangements while she is still alive. And I have to say, excuse me, I'm a little bit suffering, so my voice is not as good as it should be.
No problem. Okay. Did you want to come back in on the Labor comment? No, you're right, Libby?
No.
All right, cool. Leo is the man to speak to with the microphone. I don't think anyone's got it yet. So we'll go to the next question, Bill from Armstrong Creek. And he says, both parties have failed to see a Prime Minister serve a full term in recent years. Can candidates commit to support their current leader for the full term of Parliament? And Sarah will go to you, and then I'll go to Libby, and then any other candidate. Sarah?
Well, yes, absolutely. And we recognise that the change of Prime Minister on both sides of politics is simply not acceptable. We have changed our party room rules, and there's now a very firm commitment that it will now be very, very difficult to change our party room leader. But certainly we have an incredible Prime Minister in Scott Morrison, one who cares deeply about this country, about getting things done, about building a strong economy, and he's been an incredible support to the Corangamite electorate. So I've been very, very proud to support Scott Morrison as our Prime Minister.
Libby?
I'd firstly like to acknowledge that as I've door-knocked through Corangamite, there is a lot of disillusionment because there has been a number of Prime Ministers over a number of years, and it is something that Labor certainly recognises. We've put a plan in, we've got rules around all members voting in our leader, and that means that we have been solid, stable, united for the past 5.5 years, unlike the Liberals, and we now have a plan for the future, which is about a fair go for all.
Did you want to come back in, Sarah, or move on to the next question?
I'm happy to move on.
Okay. Next question from Gary in Janjuk, very point blank. Does your party support Equinor? And Simon Northeast, you're first.
The Greens are very keen. Well, the Greens have been very specific. We do not support any oil or gas exploration in the Australian Bight. We have been very clear on that for a number of years now. Sarah Hanson-Young, our South Australian Senator, has spoken at length. We definitely oppose Equinor and their prospects of drilling in the Bight.
Libby Coker.
Labor has not determined its position on Equinor. We believe in a governance rollout, basically looking at what Equinor will be doing. We will have measures in place. We want to actually, if in government, we will have a firm process to make sure that it stacks up. If it doesn't stack up, it won't go ahead if it doesn't stack up environmentally.
Sarah Henderson?
Well, this proposal is currently under investigation by NOPSEMA, which is the National Offshore Petroleum Safety and Environmental Management Authority. There was an exploration licence granted by the Labor Party in 2011 to Equinor. So I think I need to very strongly put that on the record. And personally, I have deep concerns about this proposal, and I actually joined Damien Cole's paddle out in Torquay a few weeks ago to express my concerns about the potential impact on the environment if there was to be a widespread oil spill. And on my watch, I can say that this will not go ahead at all if there is that sort of risk to the environment. Our environment, our oceans are really precious. I represent a very important coastal electorate, some 270 kilometres of pristine coastline. And on my watch, as the federal member for Corangamite, I will not allow our precious environment to be compromised.
Damien Cole.
Could I make it?
I'll come to you next. Damien? All right, Libby, did you want to come back in on that?
I just wish to say that Labor has not a position. I live on the coast. I value oceans and you know, I understand that there are a lot of people across our region who are very concerned. Labor acknowledges that, I acknowledge that, and we will look at it very carefully. And I think that people want a government that has processes in place to ensure that the right decision is made. And I would like to emphasise that if it is not, does not stack up environmentally, it will not proceed.
Sarah?
Oh, look, I just wanted to add that NOPSEMA is an independent statutory agency. The environmental assessments has been triggered as a result of the exploration licence being granted to Equinor. And, in fact, there's no room for ministerial discretion at all under the Act, so I'm not quite sure that Libby understands the legislation. But I can say very carefully that there are very strong requirements on NOPSEMA to assess the environmental impact of Equinor. And as the local federal member for Corangamite, I have already made very strong representations on this issue to Minister Matt Canavan. And I can tell you that when it comes to standing up for my electorate, I put the community first and politics second, and I will back my community every step of the way.
Libby?
I think the legislation is something that we take into account, and obviously both Sarah and I, we will not be making a decision about Equinor ourselves personally. It will be the party and it will be up to policy. And I can assure you that, as I've just said, Labor will look very carefully and will not be accepting something if it does not stack up environmentally.
Sarah?
Oh, look, I just wanted to make the comment that we don't take legislation into account. It's either the law, or if there's no legislation, clearly there's not law. But obviously if there's legislation, that is the law. And the government must follow the law, unless, of course, that law is amended. So I just need to make it clear to everyone listening that it's not a discretionary matter whether the government follows the law.
Anything to add, Libby?
I think I'd just like to point out again, if it's not discretionary, then both of us in one sense are not the people that are going to be making the decision. However, we have a role to advocate, and I will advocate hard to ensure that whatever decision is made, it does stack up environmentally, and if it is going to impact on the Great Australian Bite, it will be of great concern to me, and I will advocate hard on that issue as any and as on many issues.
All right, we'll go to Damien.
I don't even know where to start with this one. This is a very personal issue for myself. I've actually, my team and myself have been leading paddle outs across the whole country over the last 2 months in strong opposition to Equinor drilling in the Great Australian Bight. The fact that in 2010, a Labor minister actually released the leases out there and then joined oil lobby group weeks later, for me, there is something drastically wrong. When you look at NOPSEMA, the fact that there are eight board members, only one has environmental credentials. Once again, if you say that they're independent, technically, potentially, but I think that there's something there, there's murky waters. When you look at, while the risks may be low, and they tell us that they can do this safely, when the impacts have the potential to destroy hundreds of communities, thousands of kilometres of coastline, and the economies of tens of hundreds of communities as well, for me it's a disgrace that we're even sitting here in 2019, as with both Liberal and Labor, even entertaining this idea, because while we're looking at federal potential for some federal money, when we're looking at the potential demise of our communities across the southern coastline, it really, I'm actually physically shaking right now, because that we have to fight this in 2019 whilst we're in the midst of a climate emergency. It is an absolute disgrace by both parties at the fact that we're sitting here right now having to, that I have to protest. I've gone broke on this personally. I've spent over $10,000 on my credit card to ensure that I fly to every single capital city in Australia and get this on the international radar. And hey, we made the New York Times yesterday. So. Well done.
Naomi Adams.
Okay, so I don't think I can speak more about the environment than what Damien and Simon have already done, but I also want to encourage everyone to consider the marine life and the marine habitats that we'll be looking at when we consider this kind of drilling. It's just not something that the Animal Justice Party would ever support from an environmental and an animal perspective. So thank you.
Right, on Twitter, which people can get involved with the hashtag Corangamite, Marion says the quality of questions are quite poor for a federal election so far, so we'll try and change that with your question, madam. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh, that's under pressure, and sorry about that. Following on from how precious our oceans are, my name is Kirsten McLeod, one of the vice presidents of the Point Lonsdale Surf Life Saving Club. 11 years ago, our club started planning for a new community clubhouse. My question is to all candidates. In the last 3 years, we raised a total of $4.85 million. $2.2 million of this amount was raised from member and community donations alone, $2 million from state government, and $650,000 from the federal government Building a Better Region grant, a grant that Sarah Henderson lobbied on our behalf to change the criteria so we could be successful. And we did receive the full amount we asked. Unfortunately, tender prices came in higher and new fire codes has added $600,000 to our project. We are asking all candidates today for a bipartisan decision to please help the Point Lonsdale Surf Club by giving us an election promise of $600,000. The Point Lonsdale and Queenscliff communities have donated an incredible $2.2 million and have nothing more
so
to give.
To come to the that's it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Damien Cole?
Yeah, listen, Surf Life Saving's been around for over 100 years and they have been saving Australian lives and international tourist lives for so long. I think it's absolutely imperative that we continue to support Surf Life Saving clubs all around Australia, including that one, and I advocate for the $600,000. If we can spend over $50 billion on a failed NBN, surely we can get $600,000 for you.
Sarah Henderson?
Well, I've been a great champion for Surf Life Saving Clubs and they do an incredible job in the Corangamite electorate. We've provided already very substantial funding for Ocean Grove, Janjuk, Anglesey Surf Life Saving Clubs and, of course, as Kirsten mentioned, $650,000 under the Building Better Regions Fund. And there's been obviously some costings issues. The club's done an incredible job, though, And I was very pleased to go into bat for the club to change the criteria for that fund so that it would be eligible and we were able to deliver that funding. Look, there's been a bit of last-minute discussions happening, in fact, including overnight, and I haven't even had a chance to tell Kirsten or the President, Matthew Ponsford, but I'm really delighted to announce here and now that we will commit $600,000 more, making it $1.25 million in total if we are re-elected. And that news has just come through. So, Kirsten, sorry that I didn't get a chance to tell you just before we sat down. But as you know, we were talking last night and again this morning, and I'm really, really proud to deliver that election commitment on top of the $650,000 that we delivered earlier in January. But I have to pay credit to Brian McKittrick, the Liberal candidate, who put up $1.8 million in prior to the state election. He did an incredible job recognising the needs of this club, and the Liberals have absolutely led the way in standing up for surf life-saving clubs, including, of course, Point Lonsdale. So congratulations, Kirsten, on securing that commitment.
Naomi Adams?
Absolutely. We would always support things for the community. I'm a psychologist, is my background, and I've worked in community and not-for-profit sectors most of my career. I've worked and lived on the Bellarine Peninsula for a long time, and I really understand the needs of the community. We would definitely support that. Thank you.
Okay, Simon Northeast?
Yeah, as you know, I'm a volunteer surf lifesaver with Fairhaven Surf Life Saving Club and previously old surf boat rower. go out every summer, help people between the flags. I'm sure the Greens would support your cause.
No-brainer. Okay, Libby Coker.
I'm a member of a family member of Fairhaven Life Saving Club, and my family have gone through the NIPAS program. I do understand the importance in terms of safety and health and community connection that these clubs provide. I do believe that it is really unfair the way surf life-saving clubs at every election have to go cap in hand. The funding model is flawed in my view, and as if I am elected, I will go into bat for a different process for surf life-saving clubs. They do a great job. They're powered by volunteers. They are so important. I would like to mention that we have we will support the $650,000 for the Building Better Regions Fund, and we have already announced that we will fund the club $650,000 so that you can get on with the good work that your community do. So it looks to me that your club is either way, a bipartisan approach has been achieved, and I would like to see more bipartisanship between government and opposition, because that's the way we get the job done. Thank you.
Do you want to make a comment, Sarah?
No, I just say to everyone at Point Lonsdale, congratulations, you've worked so hard. This is a great victory for you, and you are now fully funded. I hope to be your local federal member, of course, after the election, but the great news for Point Lonsdale is you are fully funded. You can now begin your wonderful dream in terms of getting the construction going, so congratulations.
And Libby, same sentiments from you? Yeah. All right, we'll go to this lady here with the microphone.
Senate for a new party called Independence for Climate Action Now, so I'm really happy to talk to anyone afterwards.
Please hold the mic a bit closer to...
Thank you. So Independence for Climate Action Now, I'm standing for them, love to talk to any of you afterwards. Cammy Cordner-Hunt, I grew up on the beach at Point Lonsdale myself, this is really for the sitting member, this question. Can you give the children who are marching for climate action this Friday an outline of how you will protect their future by declaring a climate emergency? And can you do this without offending the vested interests who help fund your party?
Okay, well... I think that was directed to the sitting member. I'm going to open up to the entire panel. Libby, you're listed first.
Labor has a comprehensive policy for climate change action. We will reduce, we will have 50% renewables by 2030 and reduce emissions by 45% by 2030. The way we will do that, we will work with communities with a community power hub. Between Apollo Bay and the Bellarine, we've already said set up communities who are working with us, and they will be delivering different projects, things like solar on the top of social housing to reduce energy prices. We will have ARENA and our climate finance corporation to ensure that we attract industry to set up in Corangamite and across this nation. Type of industry, solar energy, that makes sure that we have a reduced carbon footprint. We also want to invest in vehicles that are electric. We believe that we need to reduce emissions. Electric cars are a way of doing that. We also will ensure that we have less plastic in our oceans. It's very important that we reduce the number of single-use plastic bags. We have a policy to phase out plastic bags and to also work with other Pacific Island nations to clean up the plastics in our ocean. So we do have a very comprehensive policy. We will also have an environmental protection authority. We will expect polluters to take out carbon credits. We will be working very hard to reduce our carbon footprint.
Thank you very much. Sarah Henderson.
Look, thank you very much for your question and good luck for your run in the Senate. The Morrison government has a very proud record of taking strong, practical action on climate change, and just in the last year, we saw record investment in renewable energy, the highest level of renewable investment since 2012. Through our climate solutions package, which is a $3.5 billion package, our Clean Energy and Innovation Fund, our Emissions Reduction Fund, our Snowy Hydro 2.0, our, of course, our renewable energy target, we are comprehensively investing in climate change and renewable energy. But as we saw on television last night in the debate, for those who watched it, we will not be reckless in terms of the cost of the economy. And we've heard about Labor's policy of 50% reduction in emissions and, of course, a 45% renewable energy target. Bill Shorten cannot tell Australia how much this will cost. This is why he is such a risk to Australia and to our economy. Independent modelling has showed this will cost, in reduced wages, $9,000 per worker and a $400 billion hit on our economy. The bottom line is, not even Bill Shorten can explain the cost of this policy. And let's face it, we care about our jobs. We need to make sure that our jobs continue. Industry relies on low, affordable, reliable power, and all of that is at jeopardy under Bill Shorten and Labor.
Libby, do you want to exercise right of reply?
This is an investment in our future. We should not be looking at climate change in terms of cost. This is an investment that we all need to make.
Yeah. Well,
I'll come back to you. Did you want to add anything else?
Costings are obviously very important, but what we need to remember is the cost for future generations, if we don't do this, are insurmountable. We also know that electricity prices have been going up under the Liberals. We will bring electricity prices down as a consequence of this, and we will grow jobs in a new sector that will ensure that we have a future for our children instead of flood, famine. It is not the way to go. We must invest. It is an investment we need to make.
Sarah Henderson.
Well, we've just heard Libby Coker admit what Bill Shorten admitted on national television last night, that she too does not know the cost of Labor's emissions reduction policies. That is why Bill Shorten and Labor are such a risk to our economy. It is absolutely implausible, Libby, that you are going to an election with an open-ended costing. What is this going to be? What, $10 billion, $100 billion, a trillion? How ridiculous for you to go to the election and say, we don't know what this is going to cost. This is going to cost the economy dearly, and the fact that you've got a leader of the opposition in Bill Shorten, who is basically hijacking this economy, compromising 27 years of strong economic growth. This is something that Bob Hawke or Paul Keating would never have done. This is why Bill Shorten and Labor are such a risk to the Australian economy. I think it's absolutely shameful that you haven't put the work into costing your policies, and that is why Labor is such a risk and why I'm calling on the people of Corangamite, please do not vote Labor. Put Liberal and Sarah Henderson first at this election.
Libby?
I'd just like to say that economy is important to Labor, and we will. We have got the taxes in place to make sure that we will deliver. We are not increasing taxes, we're actually reforming the taxation system. But what we will not do is have a surplus that is underpinned by the NDS underspend of $1.6 billion. What we need to do is get our priorities right. The community, our nation, they expect us to act on their behalf. It's not just about economics. Economics is very important. But how about social well-being? What is the point of having an economy where people don't feel the love, where people are feeling that they can't get ahead? We need to change our future, and only Labor will deliver on low improving low wage growth. We will look at what we can do with climate change. We'll invest in education and health. This is what the Australians expect of their government.
Sarah?
Well, I'm afraid Libby has not told the truth. The Labor Party has costed $387 billion of higher taxes. Let me run through it. $57 billion over 10 years on the retirees. $31 billion of housing taxes. $236.5 billion of additional income taxes. And $27 billion of higher taxes on family businesses, directly affecting around 300,000 small businesses. Libby says, well, the economy is okay and sort of, but, you know, we need to think about the future. Libby, we cannot deliver the essential services, the essential social services for pensioners, for people with a disability.
Can we bring it back to the climate emergency, please?
No. For people who are struggling getting housing security, we cannot deliver those services. And let's not forget, one-third of our entire federal budget goes to welfare, and that's really important. We cannot do that without a strong economy. And now we are seeing Libby again confirming she doesn't understand what the taxes are that are being imposed by Labor. And now we see an open-ended, irresponsible, economically reckless leader in Bill Shorten trying to really derail this economy. And that's why I've become, and I think Australians generally, have become increasingly concerned about Bill Shorten. And may I just add, even yesterday when I was on the pre-poll, Mitch, people were coming up to me and they were really concerned, saying, look, I liked Paul Keating, I like Bob Hawke, but I do not trust Bill Shorten.
Back to you, Libby. And we'll move on after this to Damien. Go ahead, Libby.
I think personal tax on individuals are not appreciated. My view is that we have an approach to the economy which is based on a plan to get to look after people, to give them a fair go. In terms of economic management, those figures are exceptionally rubbery. What we have is we have made some tough decisions. We are going to introduce excess franking credit reform. Which will enable us $6 billion to put money into the things that people deserve. A decent health system, cancer care, $2.3 billion to ensure that out-of-pocket costs are not there. And we will ensure that schools, kindergartens are well-funded. So we do have an economic plan, but it's based on a better future and a decision around climate change that's going to be in the best interests of children and the future.
We have to move on. I'm going to continue with the other candidates in response to the original question. Damien Cole.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, we've gotten lost in this. So.
I think it was basically, do you declare a climate emergency? If we just keep thinking...
I've already declared a climate emergency because that's exactly what we're in the midst of.
And
at the end of the day, my only vested interest sitting here as an independent candidate are the people of Corangamite and the people of Australia and every single living creature on this planet. And that's who I want to represent, and that's it. Because at the end of the day... We have both major parties throwing around figures, throwing around the fact that, yes, they're trying to do things. Solar panels are great, but we need a much bigger scale movement than this. We need systemic change on all levels of government. We need every corporation and every single individual on this planet to stand up and actually put their hand up and ensure that we leave a legacy that we can all be proud of for future generations. And that may come at a cost short term, but we're looking at intergenerational well-being for our planet and for every single human being on this planet. And at the end of the day, also, when people say we need to take this a balanced approach or it's going to cost our economy, there are numerous reports around the world now which are actually showing that that is false. There is the Global Commission for Economics and Climate Change, which has actually looked at the world, the global GDP. If we act accordingly right now, over the next 10 years, we're looking at making, globally speaking, in excess of $26 trillion if we act accordingly to this climate emergency. If we don't, by the end of this century, there is a chance of losing up to $600 trillion around the world. And that's due to floods, that's due to refugees around the world, that's due to, you know, people losing houses, people losing cities, people losing their lives. So I stand for that, and I stand for this climate emergency. This is not a political football. It is a humanitarian and environmental catastrophe that is happening right before our eyes.
Okay, so, Simon Northeast.
Yeah, thank you, Cammy, for your excellent question. If you're serious about climate change, you must address coal. Coal is the biggest cause of climate change. If you don't deal with coal, you don't deal with climate change. The old parties are funded by money from the coal industry. They plan to open up Galilee Basin. They plan to open up the Ardani mine. It can't go on. We need to phase out coal exports by 2030. We're one of the sunniest countries in the world. We need to harness our solar renewable industry. We need to aim for 100% renewables by 2030. The Greens have a plan, Renew Australia 2030. It's all set out. It's going to cost us $18 billion. It's going to provide 180,000 jobs. There's about 55,000 jobs in the coal industry. We need to set up the renewable export energy industry. We need to do it within the next 12 years. The Greens wish to start this straight away. We need your vote, both in the lower house and in the Senate, to get this done.
Did either of the so-called older parties want to respond? Sarah?
Look, I think I just want to make the point that it was actually John Howard, when he was Prime Minister, who introduced the renewable energy target. So we are on track to deliver 23.5% renewable energy by 2020. But I note that at least the Greens has costed their policy, which is positive. If we shut down coal tomorrow, we would bring our nation to a halt. And so we are moving towards a renewable future. I have no doubt about that. And the cost of renewables is being driven down, and coal is now becoming more expensive. The market is doing the job, subsidised by a lot of the investment that our government has driven into the economy, into renewable energy. But we are seeing quite a rapid transformation, and I have no doubt that that will continue.
Did you want to make a comment, Libby, as an oldish party? I think the oldest party here.
You have the oldest party. Labor targets are designed so that we have a transition to renewable energy. We know the benefits to the environment and to our economy, to energy prices. So Labor is totally committed to doing that. And we need to do it faster than what the Liberals' target will allow. We need to create the incentives to make it happen. And Labor has that. And we will are totally committed to get that transition happening ASAP.
Yep, Sarah?
Well, there are 55,000 people, Australians, who work in the coal industry. It's a very important industry. Labor has actually no plan in terms of those workers. And I feel that many workers working, whether it's in manufacturing or mining or in heavy industry, feel really deserted by the Labor Party. We hear Bill Shorten say one thing in latte sipping in Melbourne and another thing in North Queensland. The bottom line is that we need a responsible energy mix, and yes, while we are moving to renewables, and that is important, the Liberals will not desert those who work in our mines, who work in our manufacturing industry, and that includes the 55,000 coal miners.
Libby?
We definitely are well aware of workers in the mining industry. We do need to transition them, and Labor
to
believes
what? Transition them to what?
Libby.
It's not a debate. Renewable energy jobs. There are many more renewable energy jobs in the long run than there will be in coal, and Labor will transition. We are, in fact, the party of workers. We will not be abandoning anyone on this journey.
Simon, yours was the original comment that they were making a right of reply to. Did you want to make a final response? And then we will go to Naomi Adams.
Yes, we believe we can provide 180,000 jobs in the installation, construction and operation of renewable export industry. We would open up regional Queensland and regional Western Australia, harness wind and solar energy, export that through the Pilbara and Gladstone, convert it into hydrogen, and sell it to our main export market, Japan, who have already indicated that they wish to turn to phase out coal and turn to hydrogen. That needs to be done now, people. The time to act is now.
And possibly the longest question ever so far, but Naomi Adams, you're the final response.
Thank you. I absolutely agree that we are in a climate crisis. The time is now. People who have been speaking today, it's just been blowing my mind. You've had decades to be dealing with this. Honestly, it's enough. Get cracking now. Obviously, the Animal Justice Party is not going to form government. It's going to be Labor or Liberal, but we really need to also acknowledge that, yep, sure, coal is the number one. Animal agriculture is the number two. And I'm not just talking about cows in paddocks giving off methane. I'm talking about intensive factory farming with millions and millions of animals in buildings, in, you know, enclosed spaces, without even buying into the cruelty aspect of that. We've got deforestation involved in actually creating these spaces where these animals live, and I will use inverted commas for that. We've got the amount of water that's required to actually provide these animals with their lives. And we've also got the amount of grain and food that gets produced to feed these animals. If everybody could reduce, I'm not saying go vegan overnight, obviously personally that would be fantastic if everyone would put their hand up. I'm not delusional, I know that's not going to happen. The Animal Justice Party knows that's not going to happen. However, we do need to see a reduction in meat consumption for your health, for the environment, and yeah, for the animals. It is the number two factor in climate change.
Thank you very much. The time is 3 minutes to 11 o'clock. You're listening to our 94.7 The Pulse Corangamite Candidates Forum. And our next question comes from this gentleman up the front. Go ahead.
Libby just said life is a precious gift. Some of these candidates before us have policies to increase abortions. So how do you kill a living baby? The abortion methods used to kill our children are beyond belief. Some children are given 100% burns with caustic salts to blister them to death. Some babies are cut limb from limb while still struggling. Other children are stabbed in the brain while still alive. It's appalling that some of these candidates here today approve of these murders. No child created in God's image deserves to be murdered. My question to each candidate is, do your values support even one Corangamite baby being blistered or crushed to death? And if so, tell us here and now which murder method you recommend to kill a living child.
Sarah Henderson?
Shame. Shame.
What?
Do you want to respond, Sarah?
Look, I'm obviously quite distressed about the way the question was asked, but I want to say that I do respect the fact that you have the position that you have, and I respect the fact that this is something that you feel very strongly about that you're very, very much pro-life. I strongly believe in pro-choice, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Simon Northeast?
Yeah, the Greens are pro-choice. I won't take that any further.
Libby Coker?
We do believe that a woman has a right to have control over what she does with her body. We believe in reproductive choice and access to basic health care and fundamental rights.
Damien Cole?
Yeah, listen, I'm pro-choice. Listen, you've got your own opinions and that's absolutely fine, but we live in a democratic society and every woman has the right to do what they feel is best for them.
And Naomi Adams.
It's not a party view, but as a feminist, I'm very definitely pro-choice.
All right, next question from Harriet of Warren Ponds, and they say, given your stance on the live export of cattle. How will you ensure that animals in our society are treated fairly and with respect? That was directed to Sarah. I'm going to open up to the whole panel.
Thank you.
Ironically, Sarah's listed first.
Ironically, indeed.
Well, thank you very much. Some of you might know that last year I took a very strong stand against the export of live sheep to the Middle East. I, with Susan Lee, introduced a private members bill contrary to my own government's policy, and as a result of that very strong action, and I have to say, as a Liberal backbencher, we were able to do that because the Liberal Party supports the exercise of individual conscience, unlike the Labor Party, which does not allow any Member of Parliament to express that sort of view contrary to party policy. I've been very proud of what we have achieved. The largest exporter, Emmanuel Exports, has now been permanently banned. And that's been done in conjunction with very strong action by the Agriculture Minister and our government. The summer trade, and that's something that I particularly rallied about, has now been shut down voluntarily by the industry. I believe the industry is on its knees. I made a commitment when I was a backbencher that I would not support a suspension of standing orders, which, for those who don't know what that means, essentially means that you hand the control of the parliament over to the Labor Party. I made that commitment as a backbencher, not as a frontbencher. And I'm incredibly proud that I had the courage and the guts and the determination to talk about what I believed in. And now we have a result where the Labor Party subsequently changed its policy. I respect the fact that our government has not changed its policy, but there is an increasing move, I think, to shutting down the live export of sheep to the Middle East because of the very extreme animal welfare danger which is caused when they are forced to go on these very long journeys in very, very high temperatures over very many days, in excess of 30 days.
Thank
so
you.
Just
we wrap it up, sorry.
Yep, sure.
The word Labor was mentioned there. Libby, did you want to respond?
Yes, Labor has a clear plan to phase out live sheep exports. We've already determined to phase out the or to stop summer exports in Northern Hemisphere, and we will phase out live sheep exports completely, but we will work with farmers and we will transition out of live sheep exports. I would just like to say that it is disappointing that Sarah Henderson did stand up and make a statement about banning live sheep exports, and then when given the ministerial position was no longer in a position to push that point. I think that is very disappointing. I think that I will be someone of integrity. If I do say something in Parliament, I will continue on to do that. In relation to the live red meat exports, we do believe at this point that we need to continue with that to create more jobs in this field. However, I do think that as we move into the future, we do need to make sure that we have the right checks and balances in place to make sure that animals that are exported are treated humanely.
Okay, Sarah?
Oh, look, I just want to clarify, and I think Libby understands this. I made it very clear that I stated as a backbencher that I would not support a suspension of standing orders. So that was a position that I held. So it's not true for Libby to say that I only changed my position when I joined the front bench. And guess what? As a backbencher and as a frontbencher, I will continue to advocate against my own government's policy and continue to advocate for a change in policy by my government. When Libby Coker was a candidate last time around, she never said a thing about this. She never spoke out against her own party's policy, which was to support live sheep exports to the Middle East. At least the people of Corunga might know that I have the guts and the determination to listen to them first, to put them first, and to speak out even when I'm speaking out against my own government on things that really matter to my community and the people I represent. So I say to Libby, please don't misrepresent my position. That is quite wrong what you've said, and I'm very proud that I've stood up on this issue, and I note in contrast that you didn't stand up when you had the opportunity to do so.
Libby.
I think the bottom line in this discussion is that Labor will phase out live sheep exports. That is our position, and we will make sure that happens. Unlike Labor, the Liberal Party will continue to see live sheep exports into the future. So if it is something that you care about, you can actually vote accordingly.
Thank you.
Sorry, we sent out the rules of engagement to all the candidates. Right of reply was part of that. So I'm sorry if you disagree, but we're just following the rules. Okay, let's go to the other candidates. Simon Northeast.
Yeah, animals must be recognised as sentient beings and they deserve our care and respect. The Greens have got a very strong track record. We're deeply committed to the phasing out of the cruel live export trade. What we need to do is get a national legislative framework that penalises the cruelty. I'll hand it over to Naomi.
Naomi Adams.
Thank you. So on Sunday, I was privileged to stand amongst a number of amazing people at a banned live export rally in Melbourne at Parliament House. It was the second one hosted by the Animal Justice Party while I've been involved. I was a key figure in organising this rally, which is why I haven't been at some of the other forums until today. So last year at the banned live export rally, we had 2,000 people in attendance. Since that time, we've actually discovered through some opinion polls that 80% of Australians want to ban live export. We don't want the ban to just be sheep, just to certain countries, just during the hottest seasons. This is not a matter of which party is better than the other party. This is a matter of animal cruelty. Make no mistake. Sarah Henderson and I had a chat during the state election last year, and I did say to Sarah that I found it quite coincidental that the time that she made the transition from the back bench to the front bench coincided with her, what I considered to be backflipping on that live export bill, and I found it very interesting, that timeline. So that's the one thing that I have said to Sarah before, and she did say to me that that was nothing to do with it, that she couldn't cross the party line. Bottom line is Animal Justice Party will always fight against live export. We will fight against all forms of animal cruelty, and we will fight for cows, which I do believe was part of the initial question, not just sheep. So thank you.
Sarah on right of reply.
Naomi, just to be very clear, when I first made a public position on this, when the private members bill was actually tabled in the parliament, I gave an interview on ABC Radio and I made very clear that I would not support a suspension of standing orders. So that was very clear many, many weeks, in fact many months before I was appointed to the front bench. And I do respect your absolute passion, but I also say to the people I represent that I believe the action that Susan Lee, the member for Farrer, and I took in initiating this private members bill, not only did that trigger a change in party policy by the Labor Party, that put this issue much more on the front page. And we have now, with the support of the government, independently investigated the Department of Agriculture, which is found wanting because it is not complied with the law or properly upheld the law in all respects. We have shut down the biggest exporter, which was in breach of the law. So we have made a lot of gains, and the beneficiaries are those sheep, of course, who are being exported across to the Middle East and literally cooking on those ships. So the standards have been improved. The summer trade has been shut down, supported by the Australian Veterinary Association, which I have to say did not support a complete phase out of the trade. But in any event, I have showed myself to be someone who puts my community first. We do need a phase out because, of course, we need to make sure that we can transition with our farmers. But we also need more investment into onshore processing of sheep, of course, which will be really important for jobs and for our onshore abattoirs and processes.
Naomi, as per the rules, you get to come back in.
Absolutely. So last year at the Geelong docks, there was actually a point where some live export ships were coming through on the way through to be exported from Fremantle. Sarah, were you there at that protest where the Animal Justice Party were, actually seeing what happens on those, smelling what happens on those boats? The other thing I'd like to point out is that Animals Australia has been instrumental in getting that footage across. That expose on 60 Minutes was very eye-opening for the whole country. So I don't think it's actually been a huge political focus. I think it's been through animal organisations such as Animals Australia and the Animal Justice Party, of course, supporting them, that has been very influential in this matter. Thank you.
Sarah?
Look, I do agree with you. I think that on the grassroots movement has been very substantial, and Animals Australia has done an incredible amount of work. What I meant was that in terms of putting this on the agenda of the major political parties and putting that in the forefront of debate in the parliament. So I have been very proud of the role that I have played, but certainly Animals Australia and, yes, also the Animal Justice Party have played a very important role in elevating this issue, and I do pay credit to them for that.
Naomi, do you want to make a final response, then we'll move on?
Thank you. We just want to actually get all the animals off the boats, all times, all countries. Thank you.
Libby, you're next in the order. Do you want to add anything that you didn't cover in your right of reply?
No.
And Damien Cole.
Yeah, I just think it's disgraceful that in 2019 we are actually still having to protest this barbaric issue. It's the fact that we're watching both major parties finger-pointing and kind of getting each other on technicalities. This needs to be a bipartisan support, and we need to end this. It's not a matter of if this will end, it's a matter of when, and it has to be today.
Okay, we'll go to this lady here in the second row.
Thank you. My question's for Sarah Henderson. If elected, the Morrison government cuts would see $804 million cut from public schools in Victoria over the next 3 years. A large majority of voters in Coringa might support a greater investment in public schools rather than tax cuts for high-income earners as proposed by the Morrison government. Can you comment on the Liberal Party policy that implies tax cuts for high-income earners is a better use of public money than a greater investment in our local public schools, which educate a greater proportion of students than the private sector?
Okay, we'll go to Sarah, then anyone else who wants to come in. Sarah?
Thank you very much for your question. Well, most of our tax relief is actually going to low and middle income earners. And I will very strongly and very stridently say that the Labor Party campaign claiming we are cutting health and education is an absolute lie. It is an absolute lie. We are delivering record investment in both schools and also in health. And if you want to have a look at the facts, Barwon Health here in our own region, the Commonwealth is spending more on activity-based funding than the state, $235 million a year in recurrent funding compared to about $210 from the state. The state put a bit more into block funding, but our contribution since 2013 has gone up 104%. Now, I do accept that the Labor Party is committing to spend more if it is re-elected, if it is elected at this election, on schools, and that is a fact. But that is not a cut. And what we have delivered, and as I said in my opening statement, we have delivered a very, very substantial increase in funding, an extra $37 billion in funding for schools over the next decade, an average funding increase per student of 62%. So please do not represent the Morrison Liberal government, which is doing an incredible job. And in our region, I am so proud, these are commitments not matched by the Labor Party or even acknowledged, $50 million for a new women's and children's hospital facility here in Barwon Health in Geelong, $10 million for a new paediatric emergency department, a new headspace for Ocean Grove, complete with a health hub, a $4 million investment plus recurrent funding, $2 million for Port Arlington for Bellarine Community Health, another very important investment for health in our region, and let's not forget the new MRI licence that we awarded to Epworth. So I do say very strongly,
okay,
across this region, we have really worked incredibly hard
to
drive health investment.
Libby,
into our region.
You were mentioned there, I think, with Labor's lies, so go ahead.
The Labor Party knows that education is not a cost, it's an investment. As a former teacher, I have seen many young people who have excelled because of the education system and perhaps despite their own circumstance. Labor unlike the Liberals, we made a bipartisan agreement at the last election that we would fund the original Gonski model. And under the Abbott government, they decided not to pursue that. We are totally committed 100% to investment in that model. And that is $14 billion that schools are not seeing, government schools aren't seeing. So therefore, we are going to address that funding, lack of funding. We are going to invest alone in Corangamite $15.2 million. And not, do you want me to come back later and answer the question properly? I can go.
If you like, yep.
Yep.
Go back to Sarah.
Oh, just to correct Libby, in relation to the original Gonski funding, I was around at the time. Libby's obviously reading Labor Party talking points, but the facts are that most of the Gonski funding by Labor was put into the outer years, not into the Ford estimates. And we committed to be on a unity ticket for the first 4 years, and I was in Australian Education Union debates at the time talking about that very point. While Labor may have committed more to schools, our commitment is absolutely ginormous over the next 10 years. And if Labor is committing another $15 million, why is it turning its back on Bellaire Primary School? Bellaire Primary School, and let's not forget that the Commonwealth pays the money to the state. So Libby's trying to suggest that the federal government will control where the spending goes into government schools. That's actually a decision for the state government. And why is it that Daniel Andrews and Labor, and of course now Richard Miles is representing this area in Highton, Bellaire Primary School are desperate for a capital upgrade. They are not being heard by state Labor. Grovedale West have the most appalling facilities. They're in a stronger Labor area in Geelong, frankly, and are completely being ignored. They have a gymnasium that they cannot get all their children in. And so while the Labor Party is very good at putting money into some areas to win votes, frankly, they have not put money into schools in our region which desperately need it. And I also stand up for North Geelong Secondary College, which was promised a very substantial investment by the state Labor government. And I've had very distinct discussions with members of the school council, and now that's been reneged on. So please, let's get equity of funding so that all of our schools, including Winchelsea, which needs a little bit of money to remove asbestos, which Daniel Andrews promised to remove and hasn't happened, let's get equity in all of our schools so that every school in this region gets a fair share of funding.
As an educator who's worked for the Department of Education, I've written for The Age in Education. It's something that I'm very passionate about, and I do know a lot about education. And we have committed to redressing the funding cuts of the Liberals. As I've said, $14 billion was agreed to and then not followed through with after the last election. We will do that. And that is something that people need to know, that the criteria for that original Gonski model, it actually relies on that criteria for funding to go just into teachers and resources, the things that help students most to get ahead. That's my focus. I'm not going to be being critical of others. What I would really like to do is focus on young people getting the best start in life, and that's why we're also funding kindergartens for 2 years, first time ever.
Sarah.
Look, I regret that I have to make this point again, but I make the point very clearly that the Liberal government at the time committed to the first 4 years of Gonski, and it is just untrue what Libby Coker is saying. And it's another example of how the Labor Party will distort the truth to run its own agenda. There are no cuts to health or education. We are delivering record funding. And frankly, we're all sick of the untruths. It's one of the things about politics, frankly, that really I do not like at all. And just let's stick to the facts. And the facts are, if Libby is concerned about schools in our region, could you please pick up the phone to Daniel Andrews and ask him to fund Bellaire Primary School, which needs $10 million. They are desperate for funding, along with Grovedale West and Winchelsea Primary School.
Okay, can we have a final response, Libby, then any other candidate? Then we'll go to the last question of the day. Libby?
The federal funding from, well, under Labor, federal funding will flow to local schools, and there will be significantly more to make sure that our children have the best future possible. I would like to make a comment about the fact that we're being accused of lies. One thing I would like to say, I'm very disappointed that the Liberal Party have been putting out misinformation saying that Labor is going to introduce a death tax. That is absolutely ridiculous. And it shows a lack of integrity, I believe. And I'm also very disappointed that the Liberal Party are backing in Clive Palmer's party that is not prepared to even pay its workers. So we're talking about integrity. Labor's a party that has integrity.
Okay.
Is that the same integrity we saw?
Sorry, Sarah. Simon, comment?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mitchell. As a father of a teenage daughter who goes to a public school, I'm very interested in this. Public schools are clearly underfunded. The Greens have a plan, and that is to put in $24 billion over the next 10 years into public education to bring their educational needs up to equal to independent and Catholic schools who are very, very well funded under this government. The Greens' education policy also will fund unlimited free TAFE and fund free undergraduate university for everyone.
Now, did you want to come in, Naomi? And Damien?
I'm back in the Greens on this one.
All right. We've got to go to the final question of the day. Go ahead.
Choose Fairness and Decency campaign for refugees this election. My question is mainly to Sarah Henderson. So far the US deal has seemed to have fizzled out. The medical evacuations, which Labor helped put forth, no one has come to Australia so far. And I want to know if what your next plan is to get people off Madison and Nauru, whether you're going to accept the New Zealand deal. And I have a question straight from my friend on Manus, Shamin Dan. He wants to know, what is my fault and what is his crime? And yeah, what is his crime to deserve to be there for 6 years?
Thank you. Sarah, that was directed to you, then I'll let the other candidates speak. Sarah?
Manus and Nauru were opened by the previous Labor federal government. So we inherited a situation of many hundreds of people being on Manus and also on Nauru. And we also had a situation where 2,000 children were in detention in this country as well. So we worked very, very hard.
Sorry,
and
can we let Sarah speak, please? Go ahead.
I certainly spoke up very loudly about this situation, and our government has stopped the drownings at sea. Some 1,200 people drowned under the Labor Party, under their policies. We have removed the children out of detention on shore. We have closed 17 detention centres opened by Labor because of the way it mismanaged the border protection policies. And we have now ensured that all children have been resettled off Nauru with their families. There is more work to be done, but through our Safe Haven Enterprise Visa, we've also ensured that those living in regional areas have another pathway as well. And that's something that regional members of Parliament in the Liberal Party have worked very hard for. So we have more hard work to do. There's no doubt about that. But we have achieved much, and we inherited an absolute mess from the previous Labor government, including those horrific drownings at sea, and we will not stand by and see our borders compromised in the way they were. There are tens of millions of refugees looking for safe haven in Australia. We have now record number of refugees coming to Australia under our humanitarian program, 18,750 a year, plus the 12,000 who've come from Syria and Iraq. So we have worked extremely hard to make sure that those refugees come to Australia and we give them a new life with an incredible amount of support. Just want to also say that the US deal has not fallen apart at all.
Sorry, Sarah,
that
we've got to move on.
To
Libby?
I'd like to leave it open to everyone. I'll come back and...
Okay. Did another candidate want to come in? Simon?
Yes, thank you very much for your excellent question. This is a stain on our great country's national conscience. First of all, the Greens would like to establish a Royal Commission into Australia's immigration detention regime. Because we simply don't know what's going on. Journalists, politicians, doctors, psychologists, they are denied to tell the Australian public what is going on. The Greens would end offshore detention tomorrow. We'd increase Australia's humanitarian intake to 50,000 per year. It is not a crime to seek asylum.
No.
It is a right. We would establish private sponsorship of the refugees program along the lines of the Canadian model. We would establish a regional solution for people seeking asylum, including assessing people's claims for protection in a timely manner, probably in other countries prior to coming to Australia. We'd have a 7-day limit for onshore detention, and we'd abolish temporary protection visas and reintroduce permanent protection visas. This Greens have got a very proud record on this. This needs to change. This is an absolute disgrace. We need... Thank you.
You've got an extra... Naomi or Damien, did you want to come in?
Yeah, I think, again, once again, this is... Whilst it is a political issue, this is more than that. This isn't 18,750. That's not a number. That is 18,000 individuals that have gone through hardship, that have faced persecution, that have faced war. This has to come as a humanitarian issue above the political issue, above these two parties, again, finger-pointing and arguing over what's best. We have to start looking after these people because there are millions of refugees and asylum seekers around the world who are facing persecution and war, and they have been displaced, and over 50% of those are children. And the fact that we are here and that we have people offshore and we are treating them inhumane is absolutely disgraceful by our government, and it makes me ashamed to be Australian. And we need to start... It's our moral responsibility as human beings to take them in and to also start working with our neighbouring countries to ensure that we deal with this in a humane and timely manner.
Naomi, did you want to make a comment?
Absolutely. The gentleman to my left and to my right have absolutely got it nailed. However, what I want to say is that, yes, we are a party. The Animal Justice Party is a party primarily looking at the interests of animals. However, our core values are kindness, equality, rationality, so looking at evidence-based, and non-violence. And we do have a position paper on asylum seekers very much in a humanitarian frame. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And sorry, we're out of time. We're out of time. Libby, do you want to make a comment? Then we... Madam, we had the abortion question. Can we go to Libby? Then we have to go to closing statements. Yep. Libby?
So Labor has a compassionate approach to refugees and asylum seekers. I personally feel really appalled that the people on Manus and Nauru have been on that island for as long as they have. Labor, when it set up these offshore detention centres, they were not expected to be there, people on those islands, indefinitely. We did have a 90-day rule. That is no longer applying. We need to ensure that we find asylum seekers a third place to resettle. We have accepted New Zealand's offer, and we'll continue to look at third countries for refugees, asylum seekers to resettle. We will also abolish permanent protection visas because I do not want to see asylum seekers and refugees who come to Australia left in a position where they are not supported financially or in any other way, and we leave it up to kind-hearted people to support them. So we will get rid of those permanent temporary visas. And the other point I would like to make is we will have an intake of 27,000 humanitarian refugees. We will go to the source where those camps are, and we will work with the UNHCR to bring those people, those deserving refugees and asylum seekers, to Australia through a process. And by doing that, I would hope that those boats do not keep coming and that we ensure that when those refugees and asylum seekers come to Australia, they are treated fairly.
Libby, thank you very much, and apologies to all the questions that we couldn't get to. We had a lot of really good questions that came through the website. I'm sure many more people in the audience that would like to ask a question. We've run out of time. If it was up to me, we'd be here until midnight tonight, but I'm sure these great people want to get back to pre-poll. So we'll move to closing statements now. They will be 2 minutes as well. We'll shuffle the names around, and Libby Coker, you're listed first.
I think the one thing missing from today's discussion is talking about health and education and wages. Labor has a great plan. We will be investing an extra $2.8 billion into building new hospital wards and a cancer care plan of $2.3 billion. So out-of-pocket costs will no longer be there. We're going to support kinder for the first time ever, 15 hours a week for kinder in year three and permanent year four. We have a climate plan. Change plan that is going to deliver 50% renewables by 2030. And we do need to invest in climate change. We have an emergency. We must do something about it. Importantly, we have a plan to look at the gender pay gap, to look at family budgets and ensure that people can put petrol in the car, they can afford to take a family out for a meal, and that's all about making sure that wages increase. We believe in a living wage, and we want people to be able to have a standard of living which we've always been used to. So when you consider your vote on the 18th of May or before, remember Labor has a plan. We're committed to supporting you. We will do it economically. That is viable and responsible. But at the end of the day, we want people to share in the prosperity of our nation. And at the moment, there are many people who are not feeling that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Naomi Adams.
Okay, so something that I keep being surprised by is that a lot of people think there's a concept in Australia of a wasted vote, and that voting for a minor party or an independent is actually a wasted vote. And what I'd like to point out, and what I do point out to people all the time, is that you can actually vote, number one, for a small party, like the Animal Justice Party, or an independent, and then with preferential voting, whether you follow the preferences that we've laid out, or whether you do your own preferencing, you can actually put one of the other parties as second. And third and so on. And although I probably will not win this seat for Corangamite, what it will be doing will be showing the major parties that animals matter, that animal cruelty, that animal rights, a whole lot of animal welfare and rights related issues are important, because these parties see where their preference votes have come from. They actually see that you did vote for the Animal Justice Party, or you did vote for an independent or for the Greens, and that therefore climate issues or animal issues are important to you. So I would strongly encourage you to consider that when you are voting at pre-polling or on May the 18th. So thank you. So the other thing that I pointed out earlier is that we do have a good chance of getting someone into the Senate, which is very important for the animals. So we do have two candidates from Victoria running in the Senate. They are Ben Schultz and Fiona McCrosty. So when you get your how-to-vote information at the polling booths, make sure to vote Animal Justice Party for the Senate as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah Henderson.
Well, thank you very much, Mitch, and also to Pulse and everyone here for this great exercise in democracy. I'm asking the people of Corangamite to back me so I can continue to fight and deliver for them. I put my heart and soul into politics. I listen to the community. I back the community. I fight and I focus on delivering, and I do that with great pride each and every day. For jobs, for vital infrastructure, for community services, for major road and rail, including $2.85 billion, and $2 billion of that is not being supported by the Labor Party to fix the regional rail link. We deserve first-class rail services, and only the Liberals in Corangamite and across the Geelong region will deliver that. Working together, we have achieved so much for our hospitals, for our roads, and of course we haven't talked much about roads today, but really important roads upgrades. We know how important safer roads are for our community and across the Corangamite electorate. The Labor candidate has not made one commitment to roads, which is very surprising given how important roads are, including to duplicating the Princess Highway, upgrading the Great Ocean Road, and really important local roads. I am very, very proud to represent the people of Corangamite. right. I'm very proud to be part of Scott Morrison's team. We live in the best country in the world. To secure Australia's future, the road ahead depends on a strong economy, a budget surplus. Only the Liberals can deliver that, and that's why on May the 18th, I ask for your support. Thank you so much.
Simon Northeast. Sorry, we're just doing closing. Go ahead, Simon.
Yeah, thank you, Mitchell and Pulse, for the opportunity. Contest of ideas is always very important in a democracy. Between now and May the 18th, when you vote, I want you to consider voting for the climate. It's essential that we send a message to the old coal parties that the climate work is needed on the climate now. The time is now. I want you to put your vote down for the Greens and then send your preferences to who you think is most deserving in relation to the climate. In relation to the Senate, I want you to vote one for the Greens, for Janet Rice. We need to clean up politics. This cannot continue. We need a federal commission against corruption. We need to ensure that we know who is donating to which party prior to voting. We need to shade the light on the dodginess of the lobbyists who seem to have more power than the voters currently. Consider voting for the Greens this election. It is essential.
And Damien Cole will make you last.
I completely agree with Naomi that voting for a smaller party or an independent like myself is critical to sending a message to the major parties. But I'm going for the win. I have one thing in mind, and that is to represent the people of Corangamite and the people of Australia, and as I said, the environment and every single living creature, and that's my only vested interest. I don't have a vested interest in being a career politician, and this is not about one political cycle. I want to instill a paradigm shift and get up to Canberra and start shaking both major parties up to ensure that we do shift away from just a quantitative measure of our economy and go to qualitative, which ensures the social and environmental well-being across intergenerational well-being. Now, the next one that I want to say is that when I do look at Liberal and Labor, in my eyes, if you do vote for the major parties, they do not have an adequate climate change policy, and that if you vote one for either of those parties, you are voting for the demise of the Great Barrier Reef, you are voting in favour of Adani, you are voting in favour of Equinor drilling in the Great Australian Bight, and you are voting in favour of the demise of the future of our society as we know it.
Thank you very much. Can I ask the audience to please thank our candidates, Libby Coker, Simon Northeast, Naomi Adams, Damien Cole and Sarah Henderson.
And thanks to everyone that was here today.
Thank you
very much.
And the Facebook Live, you can go and watch that back again on our Facebook page, 94.7 The Pulse. I also want to thank the people that have been part of this debate helping us out. Leo, Nathan, Sam, Sky, Justin, who came in and has done a lot of work plugging everything in, setting everything up. Thank you very much for your help. I also want to thank Liam here on the bell. It's a very important and thankless task. And also Rowan back in the studio times two because I forgot to thank him yesterday. So can we please thank all of those people? Thank you.
Cheers, Mitchell.
And now we'll pass back to the studio for Sylvia and Robert. Thank you very much.
Tune in again on Monday from 9 a.m. for Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse. You can keep talking about the issues of the day, listen to previous interviews, and connect on Facebook and Twitter. Head to mitchellsfrontpage.com.